Yeah, so this was kind of a hard word to come up with, and I've thought about it, and I still I think I stick to it. The word that I came up with was pride for my family, and I'm just so proud of him as a saint and as a veteran of the United States. Yeah, I'm very proud, and I have a lot of pride in my family and in him in particular. You know, if people don't know their family history and they haven't had that opportunity to look at their genealogy. I mean, maybe you don't have an ancestor that has walked across the United States, but they've probably done something else miraculous and amazing.
For those of you who are just joining our podcast, a brief overview might be helpful. I'm Denny Henson, and in 2008 and 9, my husband Kevin and I spent 7.5 months walking the Mormon Battalion Trail from Mount Pisgah, Iowa to San Diego, California, hence the name of the podcast, Battalion Trek. For the 175th anniversary of the actual Battalion March, we wanted to do a podcast and share some of our adventures and aha moments on the trail, and especially my perspectives as a woman, since there are no known journals of women from the 1846-47 group. So in the podcast, you'll find several themes. The first season, we tried to share details of the logistics of getting us on the trail and how we prepared for our trek. Season two, it's all about our trek on the trail, the people we met, the adventures we had, and we interview people that we met on the trail to hear their perspectives. Season three was supposed to be all about me and my impressions from the trek, but that's taken a back seat as we've had a lot of other people to interview. Season four, I wanted to be about more people, more connections, more interesting things that people are doing to continue the story. Today, our guest fits perfectly in with season four, more connections of people today with the battalion. So I'd like to welcome you, Miriam Andrus, to joining us from Midland, Michigan.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the invite.
Our last episode, Miriam, was really a fun conversation with our friend Margaret Larson, who got interested through her husband's research in reading journals when they would mention things about music. And so I had told her that I had heard about your story, but I didn't really know any of the details. So for us to be able to have you here today and to get the rest of the story is kind of a fun thing for us. So this will be great. Why don't you tell us the name of your ancestor and what his rank was in the battalion?
So my ancestor in the Mormon Battalion, his name was George Washington Taggart, and he happened to be a musician within the battalion. And primarily, from my understanding, is he was a fife player.
So your ancestor made more money than the rest of the battalion.
Yeah, an extra dollar a month.
So how did he come to be in Nauvoo when the Saints were there? And what was his history before then?
Yeah, so my ancestor was the oldest of six boys, and his family had met a Mormon missionary, and himself and his brother Oliver converted with his parents, and they made their way to Nauvoo to be with the saints. And while he was in Nauvoo, he was married and had a daughter, but also he had hardship befall him. His parents and his brother had all died within the space of about a year. And so when the saints were being persecuted and they were getting ready to leave Nauvoo, he had actually married another woman in Nauvoo. Her name was Fanny Parks. And Fanny,
So his first wife passed away also.
yep, his first, yeah, so his first wife had passed away. So his wife, his brother, his parents had all died. And so he was left with a small, a young daughter, and ended up marrying Fanny Parks, who adopted his daughter before they ended up leaving Nauvoo.
A rough go right out of the chute, it sounds like.
Right. Yes, very much. He endured a lot of hardships.
So where was he when the army contacted the Saints and asked for the battalion?
Yeah, so he was a member of the Mormon Legion. So when Hiram and Joseph had died, he was with the group that had gone to Carthage to retrieve the bodies, and he actually played his fife as they brought the bodies back to Nauvoo. And he has a couple of journal entries about getting the bodies and the music that they played, and then seeing the bodies at the Naboo mansion. And so because he was a part of the Legion, when Brigham Young was ready to leave Naboo, he actually had been assigned to be one of the artillerymen. And so he ended up leaving, not at the same time as Brigham Young, about 2 days after. And so his group ended up catching up with Brigham Young. But because he was an artilleryman and he had this young daughter, he actually ended up leaving his wife, his new wife, and his daughter behind in Naboo. So he had left them and was with Brigham Young's body of saints when they got the call that the United States government wanted 500 Mormons to go and help form this battalion and fight the Spanish War. So,
oh, geez. A lot of the men I know struggled with the call from the government after the treatment they'd received. But your research you shared brought about a different perspective you felt like he had. Even though it was a challenge, he also had a different point of view.
Yeah. So in a letter that he had written to his wife, Fanny, he basically explained that he didn't want her to be upset with him, but he really felt that he needed to go and join this battalion group. He had ancestors that had fought in the American Revolution. And so he thought that it was his duty to make sure that the U.S. government knew that there was LDS or Mormon people that still had pride in the United States and still thought that it was their duty to fight and represent, because, I mean, it's a very patriotic view, you know, of his situation to have been going with the saints and then finding out, nope, I'm actually going to leave Brigham Young and I'm going to leave this group and I'm going to go, you know, on this battalion to help the United States government. So he almost, it was kind of like he thought it was his duty that he should go and do this thing instead of a hardship that he should bear. He really felt compelled to join because of his ancestors and the role that they played in the American Revolution, which I thought was very interesting.
It's fun to be motivated to do something because of somebody that went before you, especially if it's your family, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kevin's read some portion of a lot of journals, so I just didn't know if anything stood out in his mind.
He was a fifer. He is remarked upon a number of times by Levi Hancock, who was there. Levi was kind of ostensibly, he wasn't formally the lead musician for the Mormon battalion, but because of his age and experience, Levi kind of acted informally as the kind of musical lead. But he remarks as they're coming in just before they arrive at Fort Leavenworth, they're at going through a little town called Weston. And Levi comments about how well they played as they came through the town, turned three corners, and everybody's watching them because Weston had volunteered to put together a company of men for the Mexican War. And the governor of Missouri said, nah, we got enough people. We don't need any more. And so here, a few weeks later, come 500 Mormons marching through, and you just have to wonder what the people in Weston thought about it. But here's George Washington playing his fife as he goes through, and it was kind of an impressive discussion and description of how they came through Weston.
So there's a promise involved in this story. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So from the time I was a young child, we would have family reunions and my grandparents would gather all of us together. I've got tons of cousins. I mean, there's like 40 of us, and they would do these little family history moments. And I remember this one story about this ancestor, George Washington Tagger, and him joining the Mormon battalion, and how there had been some kind of promise granted to him because of his faithfulness. And that his family would be blessed with musical abilities. And I am a librarian by profession. So I have tried to substantiate this story and I've been unable to do so. I actually talked to my mom and she said that there was some kind of story in a church news article from one of his descendants. And that's sort of where it had come from, but I was unable to find that article. Regardless though, that story and his story has had a profound impact on my life. So not only did he have hardships in Nauvoo and joining the Saints, but then leaving Nauvoo to go across the plains and then leaving the Saints on the plains and going in the Mormon battalion. I mean, he did all of these things based on his faith and what he thought was right. And so I grew up with this story that we were all going to be musically blessed because of his faithfulness and the things that he was going to do. And I've seen that, whether that is true or not. I sing and I play musical instruments. All of my siblings sing. My mother sings and plays the piano and the organ. And my grandmother, she is in her 80s and she still plays the violin and she plays the piano. She's in her community symphonic band with my grandfather. And I mean, I just remember music being such a huge part of my life growing up. You know, for what it's worth, I really do attribute it to this ancestor, whether it was really through a blessing that he'd received for being faithful or not, just his example and instilling that importance of music in his family even has been shown. His son actually has some violins and banjos and guitars still in Cody, Wyoming, where he had settled. And so it's not just his immediate family that received that blessing. It was all of his descendants and all of my cousins. We all sing. I've got cousins that do musical theater. We all play instruments. I mean, it's just a huge part of our family.
So this promise specifically was for music then?
Yes. Yep. His descendants would be musically blessed.
So did you hear that story before or after you started playing and singing?
It was probably about the same time. So this would have been when I was a child, probably when I was around 10 or so. And my family, we actually went on a trip to Cody, Wyoming in 1998. And it happened to be the same time as a family reunion from George Washington Taggart's descendants. And so it was just so funny because we went to church that Sunday and it was a fast Sunday. And all of these folks just started getting up and saying that they were visiting Cody, Wyoming because they were there for this family reunion. And we were also his George Washington Taggart's descendants. And it just happened to be like the world's biggest coincidence. But they were all talking about him and, you know, their musical abilities and their pioneer ancestors and him as their ancestor. And that had a profound impact on me as well. We saw some of the musical instruments made by George Washington Taggart's son in Cody while we were there. We visited several museums and the local history museums, and we saw some of the things that he had there. So I think just a culmination of the stories and that visit and listening to distant relatives' stories, I mean, all of it just kind of had this impact on me. And obviously, I mean, I was probably 10 when I had originally heard the story, and then it just kind of compounded throughout my life as I got older. And it kind of gave me that confidence, you know, to say like, you know, I'm meant to be musically gifted and I'm going to grow this talent that I have, you know, whether it was true or not. It really helped me. And I sang all through high school. I played musical instruments. I was in the marching band and the symphonic band and the jazz band. And I was in musical theater. I sang in college. You know, it's just been a huge part of my life. And I really do attribute it to this ancestor.
The blessing has been fulfilled, the promise.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's had some pretty difficult experiences in his life and challenging, but it didn't stop after the Mormon Battalion.
No.
Hear a little bit about what happened after this?
Yeah. So he had left. He left with the men to cross the plains for with the Mormon Battalion, and he ended up making it all the way to California. And he was stationed in San Diego for a while, about 6 months, it sounds like, from his journal entries. And in July, they were able to be released from San Diego to go find their families. So he had started his trip back to Salt Lake to go and find his wife and daughter. And letters at the time, as you can imagine, were very sporadic. He wasn't able to communicate with them a lot. And so on their trip back to Salt Lake, they had met another group that said, "The Saints do not have enough food for you. Don't go to Salt Lake. Go back to California." And so some did. They turned around. But a handful of them, it was 30 men or so, continued to the Salt Lake Valley. And when they made it there, his family was not there. So they spent a couple of days, and then he started heading back east to go and find his wife. And from my understanding, they had left a lot of their provisions in Salt Lake for the Saints and made their way, you know, back to go find their families. And things got very hard. Luckily for me, he kept very good journals and wrote, you know, kind of what was going on at the time. And I mean, at one point he said they were eating their mules because their animals were dying. They were trying to hunt buffalo and get any meat that they could from anything. And I mean, it got to the point, I think that in one of his letters, he talked about they were just about getting to the point of eating the leather off of their shoes because they were starving. But he was able to make it back to his wife, luckily, and she was just fine. She had made it to winter quarters, and luckily for her, she actually kept a couple of letters and had written a history of her life before she died. And she told the story of Brigham Young, how she had gone to Brigham Young with this small daughter that she had, who was, I think, around 1 year old at the time. And she had no place to stay. She had no family, no relatives, nothing, and had no house. And she had gone to a gentleman that lived fairly close to where she was staying and talked to him. And he said, "You know what? I'm actually going down to Missouri and I am going to be leaving my house. Would you like to live in my house while I'm gone?" And so because of blessings she received, she was able to have a house to live in and be able to take care of her daughter, even though I know that they had nothing. They were basically destitute and had no money for food and were probably starving as well. You know, she was able to survive. And when George got back to them, he wrote in a letter that he found her in a state that was much better off than what he had thought she was going to be in. So I think that was also a blessing that he was able to realize from his faithfulness and being able to go across the battalion and make it all the way back. His wife and his daughter were well, nothing had bad had happened to them. In fact, they had been blessed with a place to live. From what I understand, his life greatly improved after that. He actually had three sons born in Iowa after he had returned from the Mormon battalion. After they were born, they actually made their way back to Utah. So he made the trek three times, essentially, made it back to Utah with his three sons. And one of those sons is my ancestor. So yeah, he was able to settle in the Utah Salt Lake Valley area. And he actually worked the rest of his life building up the kingdom. As they say, he was a millwright and he built mills all over the Salt Lake Valley so that people could build homes and get timber.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, you also said that you and your husband have a connection for this story. Would you like to share that with us?
Yeah. So my husband is actually a direct descendant of Hiram Smith. So his great grandfather is Joseph Fielding Smith and, up the chain. So, but Hiram actually was the person that gave George Washington Taggart his patriarchal blessing. And so I like to think of our ancestors knowing each other, you know, back then. Now we're married, which is kind of fun. But one of the things that I thought was profound to me was that George Washington Taggart, in his patriarchal blessing, it talks about how he was going to be remembered by his descendants throughout the generations. And because of the thing that he did by joining the Mormon battalion and also, you know, crossing the plains with the Saints, I really feel like that blessing and his patriarchal blessing has really become true. because he did this, you know, life-changing thing that only comes about, you know, maybe once in a lifetime, you know, or once in hundreds of years. We haven't had another Mormon battalion, right? We haven't, you know, all marched across the United States. So he did this huge thing. And because he did this, I really feel like that blessing has come to pass, because, I mean, you can search for George Washington Taggart online and you can see his descendants and their Facebook pages and their websites and all of these things. And there's big family reunions and people getting together. And, you know, he's a person that lived, you know, he was born 200 years ago. And yet we all, a lot of his descendants still remember him and we still talk about him and we've been blessed by the things that he did. And then Brigham Young, at the celebration 11 years after the Mormon Battalion, he reiterated the same thing and said that those that had gone on the Mormon Battalion, that they would be remembered. And so I really feel like those two things have really come true. But I just really like to think of that link between my husband's ancestors and my ancestor, that, you know, they knew each other and they, you know, probably talked to each other and dealt with one another and, you know, lived their lives together, just like I'm able to talk to you right now. It's just so fun to think about, you know, generations down the line. Now we're married.
I have a situation like that on my family on one line, and it is fun to think, oh, they were playing cards together. I bet they didn't know that further down the line, their families were going to be connected.
Yeah, that's very fun.
Church was very small at that time.
Yes.
But it's remarkable, even at this late date, the different connections you make with people that you knew, or people, you know, 6 degrees of separation kind of thing.
Right. Yep, exactly.
Well, you mentioned that it's had an impact on your life. And so this story of George Washington Taggart and the battalion story and his connection to it, if you had to describe that impact on you in one word, what would it be and why did you choose that word?
Yeah, so this was kind of a hard word to come up with, and I've thought about it. And I still stick to it. The word that I came up with was pride for my family. George Washington Taggart went through so much, even just as a saint, trying to get from Vermont and leaving his brothers and going to Nauvoo. He only saw one of his brothers again. He had a brother that had come to Nauvoo and visited and then had left. And that was the last time he saw his siblings. And then his parents had died, and he had a brother that died, and then his wife had died, and he had all of these hardships. But yet, when he was called upon to do a task, I mean, multiple tasks, he was called upon to leave with the saints and leave his wife behind. And then he was called upon to join the Mormon Battalion. And he was more than willing to do that because he really felt that it was his duty and it was the thing that he should do and that God wanted him to do. I just feel so much pride in my ancestor that he was able to make those choices and he was strong enough to listen to what the prophet wanted and what God wanted him to do. And I'm just so grateful for him. I'm grateful for the sacrifices that he made. And I'm just so proud of him as a saint and as a veteran of the United States. Yeah, I'm very proud and I have a lot of pride in my family and in him in particular.
And how has that changed your life?
I think, well, for one, knowing that he was a fife player and having that musical ability distilled in me as a child, I mean, music has a profound impact on me. I love music. I always have it playing. I love singing. I mean, it's just something that brings me together. My husband and I, he plays the cello and I'll play the piano and we get our girls together and we all sing on Sundays and things like that. It's improved my life for the better. And I really do feel that started with that seed planted of knowing about him and knowing about his story and being this fife player and knowing that I had this heritage of, you know, a music player. I mean, really, music has been an aspect of my life since I was a small child. And I really do attribute that to this ancestor.
Well, you talked about being a little bit nerdy when you were young and what you'd like to do after school every day. And so if you'll just share a little bit about that and then how it's blossomed as an adult, as you've grown and some other interesting things you've learned through your research about George Washington Taggart.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, I had a wonderful lady in my ward who came to my young women's class one day, and she had her family history in a binder. And this binder was probably 6 inches tall. I mean, it was huge. And it was her family history. And she gave this wonderful talk in young women's about family history and the importance of doing family history work. And so after she had given that talk, I told my mom that I was really interested and I wanted to start learning about our family and our ancestors. So when I was in junior high, our junior high was right next to a seminary building and it had a family history center in it. And so after school, I would go over to the family history center and I did genealogy every day. I was a really nerdy kid, which is probably why I'm a librarian now, I guess. That probably put a little bit into it, but I would do my family history. And pretty much everywhere I go, I love to find how the places that I visit tie into my family history. So I visited Nauvoo with my husband and we were able to go and find George Washington Taggart's parents. His father's grave marker is in the Pioneer Cemetery there. We found their land plots. I mean, everywhere I go on vacation, I'm trying to figure out if I've got a family member that could be buried there or had lived there or whatever. So I'm really nerdy that way. I really like family history. But that kind of started when I was in junior high. But not just that, it has given me a background where I've been able to make a lot of life experiences that I've had take personal meaning for me. So when I was in high school, I was in band and choir, and we took a trip to San Diego, and I was able to visit the Mormon Battalion Monument and Museum there. And they asked us as high school students, you know, do any of you have ancestors that went on the Mormon Battalion? And I did. And I knew this ancestor. And I said, yes, my ancestor was a fife player. And his fife is on display there. So George Washington Taggart's fife that he played across the Mormon Battalion Trail is actually, at least at the time, I don't know if it's moved, but when I was in high school, it was housed there and I was able to see his actual fife and be able to make that personal connection. Even though I was on a, you know, high school band trip, I was still able to find some meaning and something from my ancestor there. So that was really neat.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us that maybe we didn't ask or that had come to your mind?
I don't think so. I just think, you know, if people don't know their family history and they haven't had that opportunity to look at their genealogy. I mean, maybe you don't have an ancestor that has walked across the United States, but they've probably done something else miraculous and amazing. And I think that knowing those stories and learning about those people and where you come from, it can have a profound impact on your life. And you might be missing out on those opportunities if you haven't learned about your family and all the amazing things that they've done to get you to where you are. So I would encourage people that listen to this that they, you know, go find out about your ancestors. I mean, maybe it's not crossing the plains. Maybe it is coming from Ireland to the United States during the potato famine, or maybe it was leaving a family member behind, or maybe it was just, you know, your grandmother was the first woman to go to college. I mean, there's all kinds of amazing stories that our families have. And if you don't know those, I would very much encourage everybody out there listening to this to find out more about your family. It really can impact you and give you a better understanding of who you are.
I agree. 100%. Thank you so much, Miriam, for joining us today and sharing this story.
Thank you. Thanks for the invite. I really appreciate it.